Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Well, I just found someone who's as ranty as me. I don't know this guy from Adam, but I want you to listen to it. And it's also going to kind of be a reminder of various things that I've touched on. It's not always been like a major subject for an episode, but that I've touched on throughout the Scales of Truth. And it's what, 320-ish some episodes now, over something like 8 years, but mostly over about the last five or five and a half years. And this is around what really happened in 2020, November. And it's as plain as the nose on our face. And so he's going to be touching on this, but more. And I'm just going to use this as an excuse to kind of bring this back up. And we know just 2,000 mules, heroic effort. 2,000 mules, where I've mentioned it many times, and I'm going to, here and there, I've got to resurface it. It is a world-level scandal that of when 2,000 mules, what 2,000 mules did was say that even if there were only 2,000 ballot mules across these only, it was only four or five states, even that was enough to turn four different states, and then which would have turned the election, in 2020. And then they just put very high levels of confidence on who we think the mules are, and therefore that's how we only come up with 2,000. Okay, so it's going to be about that. And with that, though, I'm going to go ahead and let this guy speak, and I'll give a little bit of a, let's see. Okay, this is from a Joe Hoft show, H-O-F-T. He's, quote, on TNT, but that is clearly not TNT like TBS TNT. So I'm going to start this, but pause it and go back to the beginning and let you listen to all 3 minutes and 1 second. And then I'm going to hint at what I think those things are and, kind of touch on those other situations. Because really, it's a world-level scandal. Like, these are crimes that make Watergate look like nothing. And I mean, like, nothing. Like, did you steal a piece of bubble gum at the drugstore, little Johnny? That's not very good. And then you have the police come over and talk to Johnny, so it scares the crap out of him. That's the type of level of scandal that 2020 makes Watergate look like. All right, let me go ahead and
look at me, FBI. No group. And then we had the creeps, as I write about my third book on the steal. And then we had the creeps, as I write about my third book on the steal. The creeps come in and they start covering it up. And no group, look at me, FBI, no group was as corrupt as you. Nobody. I'm challenging you, FBI. This is Merrick Garland, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden's FBI and DOJ, Christopher Wray. You guys are liars, and you know it. You covered up for the crimes in 2020. And here's the bomb. I wrote a piece last night at joehoff.com saying, hey, get ready. We're going to drop a bomb on this show today. Here's the bomb. Our FBI is corrupt beyond belief, and they covered up massive crimes across the country, but especially in Georgia. They're complicit with these crimes. How can I say that? Because they came in and they allowed these lies to go forward. They did not investigate. They could not have investigated because the evidence is there. We have the evidence, FBI. We have the evidence of material crimes that were committed in Georgia after the election of 2020. Not only did we have video evidence that Rudy Giuliani released after the election, which from a professional auditor's perspective, I've done 200-300 audits around the world. I've presented to audit committees around the world. I've never seen anything so broken. If I would have walked into an audit committee and said, hey, we've got the evidence, it's right here on video, look at this, they would have said, fire those people right away. Fire them. And anybody who hired them, get rid of them. But our FBI stood up behind him and backed him up. And Joe Biden's giving these people awards. This is outrageous. Not only do we have video evidence, we have much, much more. So if something happens to me by this corrupt FBI, I want people to know we've got the evidence. We've got it. More than just video. We've got the evidence. We've got it. They know it. We've got it. We're going to drop this bomb piece by piece on these animals because we got it. Damn you, FBI. And damn you, DOJ. And damn you, Biden administration. And you criminals who stole this election. And Raffensperger and Kemp. All you guys. Damn you for not standing up for the truth. We got the evidence. We got it. It's more than video. The video was enough. We've got more. We want you to know that. We want you to know it. Sit on that, FBI. Sit on that. This is breaking news at Joe Hoft Show here on TNTRadio.live. This is breaking news around the world.
All right. So, yeah, Joe's ranty, but good for Joe Hoft. Now, what he's talking about, I might play it again just because I was trying to think of all the various things that I wanted to say, but some of those things I'm not going to remember off the top of my head, is we had the video evidence. But remember, we're in the time of maybe you could get something on Substack, but you could not get it on Twitter. You could not get it on Facebook. You could not get it on YouTube. Because we were at the beginnings of a massive censorship regime. And only the Bill of Rights and this last election and Elon Musk have saved us from that. Europe has gone by the wayside of censorship in an awful, awful way. We have to flex these muscles over here, Americans, for the fate of the entire world. So this is why I love what Joe Hoft is saying here. But we had, at the time, the video of things like in certain precincts, they shoo people out of the building, the poll watchers. And after they shoo people out of the building, the poll watchers from the various places, Libertarian, Republican, whatever, then they go underneath their tablecloth for the, you know, fold out tables that are in the precinct, and they pull out briefcases or boxes of ballots. It's simply a conspiracy after hours. There are groups of people doing that. We have video of people being happy that they shooed out the poll watcher. We have video, thanks to 2,000 mules, of after they piece together, and go listen to my episode on that. I'll make it less brief, or rather more brief than those episodes. But we have video thanks to 2,000 mules going, well, geesh, anybody can get this phone data. It's de-identified, but if you do work on it, you can at least see which phones went here, here, and here. And guess what? If you know that my relatives and where they live, and then you've got phone data, and you see who visits those areas most frequently, guess what? You probably know two things. That's a relative of those people, and that it's probably me. So if you work it out too, then instead, okay, why did they go to this activist organization many, many times? And then why were they near ballot boxes, multiple ballot boxes, many, many times? Not just one where maybe they live near one, meaning a drop box. Not just two to where, you know, maybe they live near one, but they worked near another. No, 5 or 20, and then many, many times. That's how you get to 2,000 mules. And again, go listen to that episode. But then more specifically on the back end, what 2,000 mules did was, well, shoot, we've got a timestamp of these people late at night at 2 o'clock in the morning driving from one ballot area to another. We can follow these and see when they become within kind of a certain geofence proximity of these various ballot places. And if we do, because they're doing their shenanigans late at night, like 1:30 and 2, and even if not, but then you have camera, you have video from cameras that are supposed to be securing that area, or that are supposed to be providing some integrity from that area. And so literally, as Mr. Hoff talks about the video, and that no chance on God's green earth in a proper audit without a corrupt agency or organization who wants the audit, would this result in anything except massive reaction? We have video of the people delivering the ballots, stuffing the Dropbox ballots. Now, you are probably not even supposed to allowed to bring anybody's to the Dropbox, but pragmatically, you could say, well, yeah, I decided to take my mom's too. She doesn't get out very much. Fine, that stands for two. You can tell me also you collected all of your friends and neighbors. I just thought I'd bring yours to the Dropbox. I mean, maybe, but that stands for one mule, not 2,000 of them, right? And so we have video of these, and then to the extent it kind of got out that the videos were available, of course, the other side, also known as criminal jackasses, said, how dare you try to violate that person's privacy? Say what now? We're talking about investigating a crime. You know the open source stuff you did on January 6th? And you should have? I mean, you were stupid dogs led on a leash down the wrong path because you're dumb. But yeah, that same open source crowdsourcing investigation, they got through Freedom of Information Act those videos. And then when they did show that, you don't think they have other videos? They just showed a couple on 2,000 Mules, or three or four, where this is a person delivering many ballots. Some of them were done in the middle of day. Everybody else like, well, that's odd. You just do it, you go about your day. Others were done at night. But the point is, that is the video. That is enough to say, A, B, when he says we have more than that, by itself, it's enough to say we have a crime. Okay, let's just sew this up. What are we going to sew it up with? We're going to sew it up with, well, geesh, they found these people. We can use the same mobile data and or ask True the Vote or whoever, I can't remember their names for sure, who are behind 2,000 Mules. Incredible organization. Other people say it's a bad organization. That's because your judgment's bad. It's because you don't know how to understand the world. Any organization that's trying to understand whether or not ballot drop boxes were abused is a good organization, not a bad organization. And if you think otherwise, I don't know what to tell you about your judgment. You're probably beyond hope. So incredible organization. You don't think they have other videos? Okay, they did Freedom of Information Act for videos probably around this time, or maybe they got a broader release, and otherwise they've probably been deleted. But even as to the Freedom of Information Act release of public cameras, they only showed a few. But regardless, when that guy says we've got more than just video, well, it's the 2,000 Mule stuff. It's the phone data stuff. And you can just easily probably figure out even who the person is. Eventually, if you've got the phone data and you get to track those phones, you just make your search a little bit broader. Remember, thanks to Google, big tech turns into spyware. We now sell this data, which is the way that True the Vote, or whoever's behind 2,000 Mules, got the data. They got it through a specific query of the type of data they wanted, when and where, over what period of time. And then they just analyze the data. So this is the data he's talking about that is behind the scenes. Okay, we already know most likely who those mules are. Because if we have where those phones went in a two-week period, we certainly, if we can find out they went to multiple drop boxes plus multiple, quote, activists or, you know, voter turnout agencies and many, many times at both, then we also know where else that phone went and where it was mostly. So that data shows us who the mules are, many of them. And you don't think, not in the classic Chicago PD or whatever point of view, you can't get those people into a room and put some heat on them? But forget that. You've got phone data near the organizations that were coordinating this information. And so you know which ones those are. And you've already defined them as 2,000 Mules folks. What those organizations are. They're generally get out the vote, shady nonprofits. So you know where those are. So you know what else you know without having to go put heat on these poor mules who, you know, made $15 per ballot delivered or whatever it was and just had to prove that all of their box was gone and then they got paid in cash. Do you know how what else you have? You have those places and therefore you have what other phones were in those places most often, and or specifically, what other phones were in the places at the time that the mules were there, where they were coordinating. And then you also have what other where those phones went that were at the nonprofit a lot and or at the nonprofit at the time the mules visited the nonprofit. And therefore, since you have those phones, you have some conspirator. What else do you have about the conspirator? The rest of where their phone went. All right? And so what do you have about the conspirator? Where they stay at night. You have the conspirator. You have the coordinator of the ballot mules. This is what he's talking about here. And so, yes, the video evidence has been here. This is why sometimes as truth seekers, we have to un-gaslight ourselves and go, now, I wasn't dreaming, right? Like, I had really good information before and the logic made a lot of sense. No, you weren't dreaming, buddy. You weren't dreaming when you heard me talk about it, or you weren't dreaming when you came up with the perception that, wow, that's really important, valuable information that's pivotal. That makes a big difference. You were not dreaming. Un-gaslight yourself. Sometimes we need to do that by revisiting and getting confidence back in who we are as investigators and as citizens with sovereign rights to talk about important public matters. So yeah, let's listen again. And just see if anything else kind of pops to my brain here. So again, this is the Joe Hoft Show, H-O-F-T. Down at the scroll, it says something like, listen to TNT radio. So it says live on TNT. Obviously, that's not TBS TNT Atlanta.
And then we had the creeps, as I write about my third book on the steal. The creeps come in and they start covering it up. And no group, well, look at me, FBI, no group was as corrupt as you. Nobody.
All right, with that, I will say, well, we shouldn't be surprised. Oh, I know. Now, True the Vote, or Katherine Engelbrecht and the other guy, other folks there with 2,000 Mules, again, not 100% sure of the name of that organization, they stated in different places, hey, we were working with the Department of Justice. And they were like, ooh, good information. And then at some point, they just stopped working with them, like the FBI stopped talking to them. So it was more like, and I'm not saying the FBI was directly in on this, but it reminds me of this, that when you're a law enforcement agent and you get that kind of commonality of someone who wants to cooperate with you, and you get a sense that, are they just trying to cooperate with me to understand what I have? And you go, are these people actually, you know, maybe there were a person of interest. they're highly cooperative, or they weren't a person of interest at all. They were just a witness, and they're way so overly cooperative and communicative that you wonder, are they just trying to understand what I have? Are they trying to mine me for information? And this is reverse. I mean, so through the vote, again, I should just pause and confirm that. But that organization was in contact with the Department of Justice and or the FBI and reported that. Oh, yeah, we've been in contact with them. We believe we've got the basis of a great investigation, and we have enough of what we're going to really be able to do anything with. And so they're discussing, they're communicating, they're coordinating, and then it all stops. So they got the information they needed. And to this guy's point, the FBI, Department of Justice, whatever law enforcement agencies were involved, in this case he's saying FBI, they knew. They knew all the information I gave you, knew that that lead was very fruitful. If anybody knows tracking down via phone records could be fruitful, don't you think the FBI knows it? So let's continue.
I'm challenging you, FBI. This is Merrick Garland, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden's FBI and DOJ, Christopher Wray. You guys are liars, and you know it. You covered up for the crimes in 2020. And here's the bomb. I wrote a piece last night at joehoff.com saying, hey, get ready. We're going to drop a bomb on this show today. Here's the bomb. Our FBI is corrupt beyond belief, and they covered up massive crimes across the country, but especially in Georgia.
Well, let me mention this. Again, this goes back to the great work that 2000 Mules did. And so Georgia was one of the, I think it was five states. Not remembering off the top of my head. Georgia was a pivotal state. Wisconsin was a pivotal state. Somewhere out west was a pivotal state, but I can't remember if it was like Arizona. And all that 2000 Mules did was, if, let's test a hypothesis, what is the most efficient way you could shift an election? Okay, the most efficient way is to go find the pivotal states, and in those, do your work. Okay, and now what do you do? Where can you shift this election? You can shift the election in the places that are most anonymous and that you control the most. And so that would be these metropolitan areas where you have dozens of drop boxes, ballot drop boxes throughout the metro. And so you can be pretty anonymous. Like my place to go is, you know, some ballot drop boxes. Typically, you would either within a along the route of your work or near your work or near your home or in your that same general area, the same kind of 5 square miles right around you, right? And so when it's a bigger city, there are plenty of ballot drop boxes away from those areas, just much more anonymous.
They're complicit with these crimes. How can I say that? Because they came in and they allowed these lies to go forward. They did not investigate. They could not have investigated because the evidence is there. We have the evidence, FBI. We have the evidence of material crimes that were committed.
And let's just repeat then. This is the 2020. They were probably told sometime in 2020, mid-2021, you'd have to go back and look at Dinesh D'Souza's 2000 Mules and all that work to see when they started cooperating. But this is basically a repetition of the Steele dossier where they knew plenty and they didn't do anything. In fact, they were more complicit in the Steele dossier because they knew early on it was garbage, but then still allowed a congressman to, you know, put it into an intelligence hearing, so then it went around the world like it had any validity at all. But in both cases, 5 years apart, the FBI highly corrupt, not trying to get to justice, and even when the justice stares them in the face, they just push the investigation down.
In Georgia, after the election of 2020, Not only did we have video evidence that Rudy Giuliani released after the election, which from a professional auditor's perspective, I was.
All right. So before he says that, yeah, and that's a thing. Remember, Giuliani's crazy. He was referring to video, bro. What do you mean he's crazy? This is where the captured media does so little good. Like, that's supposed to be a headline story. The next thing you do, it reminds me of how amateur, like, Paranormal Caught on Camera is versus what it could be. And that's just totally for pop culture. Like, you understand you could have an archive of truly controlled stuff that is very validated. And I appreciate that that's not your job. I totally do. When it's Paranormal Caught on Camera, you could be like, okay, I know you're saying that this video, which otherwise looks pretty impressive, holy crap, a pyramid above the Pentagon and two different viewers see it, is a dark pyramid in the dark. I've mentioned this many times in my episodes because I find it so compelling otherwise. That's pretty crazy. And I got somebody who's driving near the Pentagon. I got another person from across the city who sees it. And both of them can see this almost darker than dark Pentagon pyramid shape floating above the Pentagon, slowly rotating. Hey, why don't you send me that video? We're going to keep some people on staff, and we're going to send me the video file. And then you do forensic, forensic IT stuff, you know, on that video. And see, okay, timestamps right, anything that looks like it's been tampered, no, what's modified date, go through all that stuff that someone could digitally forensically do, and all of a sudden, through all of these hundreds of paranormal caught on camera, you could have a real validity scale, and you could highlight those validity, those most valid, and say, anybody else, prove it otherwise. And that could turn into something real. Now, again, paranormal cameras caught on camera, it's not within their scope to do that. It would be extra. They're just trying to put it out there. I would argue that if you did that on some low level and reported it, it would help your ratings, actually, because then you get a bunch of publicity on the things that you think are really, really valid. But sure, then you could even say, well, isn't the community negligent? Like, say, are you following up with what gets put on Paranormal Caught on Camera? Is somebody going to piece that together? If you're someone who's decided that you are devoted to that community, as opposed to just a mere passerby like me, as far as paranormal stuff, then you should be using that as a main source for potentially going and finding those files, those videos, and other evidence and validating them. You know, the EVPs, the Sasquatch stuff. Okay, so that's my analogy for. Now we're going to something that it's not somebody just supposed to be entertaining. Okay, so when Rudy Giuliani says, hey, we've got video. This ain't good. These are ballot mules. And he mentions it even briefly as someone with his background. The proper response, media, but then you could go back to, yeah, but the media is just for entertainment too. But regardless of that, the proper response is, oh, that's a lead. We should put that in the pile to investigate. Law enforcement agencies, right? Rudy Giuliani even had the balls to say, what the hell is going on here? Even when some people are like, well, yeah, Trump's a president, but I'm a Republican, and therefore I'm a total compromiser, and he makes me uncomfortable. I'm not saying Trump's first term was great, but compared to some of these moderate-ass Republicans who wouldn't know, oh, maybe picking the most strategic option from a hole in the ground, he certainly looks different from them, so they can have that reaction about him. So a lot of Republicans are more meh on Trump. But Giuliani stands out. And this guy properly points it out, that even Giuliani pointed this stuff out. And so back to the idea of we're talking about video here.
Hey, I've done 200-300 audits around the world. I've presented to audit committees around the world. I've never seen anything so broken. If I would have walked into an audit committee and said, hey, We've got the evidence. It's right here on video. Look at this. They would have said, fire those people right away. Fire them. And anybody who...
And to be clear, why would that conclusion come? Because the guy's coming with receipts. It's not... Where did you get this video from? I found it on YouTube. No, no, no. I'm an auditor, bro. I've already done the validity. This is public camera video, as you would expect, given its location near the ballot drop box. Did you confirm that this really is a ballot drop box? Yes, as you can see here, this is the layout of this ballot drop box. This is a ballot drop box in Atlanta, one of the metropolitan areas in question. Okay, so the point there and the emphasis there is that this is not them, the organization, just listening to Scales of Truth episodes. This is, instead, Tyson gets to go do all of the research. That's his point. If he were to bring this type of information, and I'm believing that with his background as an auditor, he's looked at it in that type of a frame to say this is valid, this is the type of thing I would bring up to an organization who's asking for an audit, not just for general practices, but for wrongdoing. And he's saying, and they would say, get rid of them.
Hired them. Get rid of them. But our FBI stood up behind them and backed them up. And Joe Biden's giving these people awards. This is outrageous. Not only do we have video evidence, we have much, much more. So if something happens to me by this corrupt FBI, I want people to know we've got the evidence. We've got it. More than just video. We've got the evidence. We've got it. They know it. We've got it. We're going to drop this bomb piece by piece on these animals because we got it. Damn you, FBI. And damn you, DOJ. Damn you, Biden administration, and you criminals who stole this election, and Raffensperger and Kemp, all you guys, damn you for not standing up for the truth. We got the evidence. We got it. It's more than video.
Okay, it's almost over, but I'm going to pipe in here and say the other thing about this is that I thought recently, what do we do? Two things. One is, do we feel apologetic? So I'm going to get back to that. Two, I said before, and it's very obvious, if in a political environment, and all corrupt societies have a political environment, one side gets away with a bunch of corruption. And one side, in so corrupting, uses lawfare and other blatant strategies to bring down those who would be their opponents, whether or not it's legal or not. Okay, that background is still the same as when somebody else gets in and they want actual justice. And do you see how now you're in this weird world, like am I an upside down land, bizarro world? Because the ones who come in and want actual justice, backed by actual evidence, now can be seen by the initial, by the supporters of the initial guilty party who used corrupt law enforcement and prosecuted their opponents improperly. The supporters of that first guilty party can then see the proper enforcement against the crimes that occurred as lawfare and corruption. You get it? So nothing is nothing without details. And the other thing I was thinking of that this reminds me of is that I find myself not posting about Israel. And I'll record an episode and then I'll feel apologetic. It's like, people are going to hear that wrong. And yet I know, just like I knew in 2020, just like I knew about 9/11 and so on, just like I knew in both 2020 for purpose of COVID and 2020 eventually for purpose of the election. I know that this is a world level problem. I don't mean Israel, the country. I mean the way the United States and other countries allow them to do the actions that they're doing and allow the Israelis to hand puppet them. So I have a hard time not focusing on that right now, as I helped elect a president who's supposed to stop wars, and we're still screwing around not stopping it. And so it irritates me, because the Gaza mission by Israel, specifically Gaza Strip, but generally Gaza City, but generally the Gaza Strip, is to just demolish it. Then the inhabitants there have no place to live. Well, Israel's not going to put up housing for them. So if you get rid of their place to live, then 2 million people must go somewhere else. That is what's occurring. But yet I found myself saying, man, sakes alive, I'm just sounding too bitter and too hateful about this. And then I realized you don't have to. It's not hate to point out hate. And where do we stand with this? How ranty can we get when we're pointing out hate? But this is absolute supremacist stuff by Israel to take an entire population, most of which, almost entirely of which, are just trying to like live in their own damn city. And then by some reports, demolish 80% and upwards of all structures. When your supposed excuse to go in there was to just ferret out the last of Hamas, the rest of us can say, bullshit, you are behaving, not every Israeli, not every citizen of Israel, not every Jew, but the leadership that is in charge of those decisions to demolish a city of 2.1 million people, those people are behaving as the ultimate supremacists. And I should be outraged by that. Just like Joe Hoft here being outraged, not only about what happened in 2020, but that it was so clearly provable and that it's not enforced anyway and not punished. I too should be outraged that, wait a second, I thought there was a peace here. And now they're saying, if you don't return bodies on time, we're going to go right back to it. That's not even being genuine. You're just being disingenuous at that point. You have leveled their city to rubble. And now you're worried about when you get back some of the bodies because it's disrespect. Come on, man. You're not even being genuine. So yes, I should be outraged. By Israel. And yes, it's going to sound ranty sometimes. But, and again, I don't know how many times I got to say this, but this is how you can tell that I really do feel like, oh, geez, that sound too ranty. Does that sound like I'm trying to assign individual hate on a whole group? No, I am not. Okay? I am not. Just like all of the shit stuff the United States has done on behalf of either defense contractors or on behalf of other interests around the globe or on the behalf of industry interests of various different types of industries and continues to do, honestly. I am not supportive of that. I can only move the needle so much, just like any of our citizens do. So you can hate what America does. And I can be okay with you hating what America does. I'm not going to be some simpleton asshole that says, therefore, you're anti my religion because you don't like what America has done here and there. When with through any possible self-reflection whatsoever, one should notice, especially in the United States, that, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. We've done some pretty shitty things and resulted in a lot of death. And any Israeli who it doesn't have his head up his ass can and should, and some decent proportion probably do, and certainly some decent proportion of Jews around the world probably do, just not as high a percentage as those who are not Jewish, but still some decent percentage can say, yeah, I can see where they're coming from. We've done some pretty shitty stuff. So this last little bit of the rant just reminds me of those two things. Let's listen to this last about 20 seconds. Go Joe Hoft.
The video was enough. We've got more. We want you to know that. We want you to know it. Sit on that, FBI. Sit on that. This is breaking news at Joe Hoft show here on TNTRadio.live. This is breaking news around the world.
So what it reminds me of, poor Joe Hoft here, when you've been gaslighted long enough just by, well, wait a second, I know these facts to be true. How is it not the biggest story on the planet right now? It reminds me of Wayne Knight. Is that the guy who was on InfoWars that was the more professor? Not Wayne Knight. Wayne Knight's, what's his face? Off of Seinfeld. What is that guy's? David Knight. It reminds me of David Knight off of InfoWars. Like, he was basically going spastically insane over, now he's got to be ranty when he meant to be professorial, and he had to leave the InfoWars. Somehow it wasn't working out. Like, I mean, if you got Alex Jones saying, bro, you need to calm down a little bit. You know, you're not in a good mental spot. I'm not saying Alex said that. That's kind of funny. But, yeah, I mean, he's like, okay, of all the places I get to be ranty, I'm at InfoWars. I can get to it. And he's saying the truth day after day after day. And it's not sinking in. He goes, bro, I'm not just saying that. Here's the receipts, all of them. All of them. It's not even a photocopy of the receipt, man. They're right here. Look. Look, I just went on their portal and I can find the electronic receipt on their live portal. These are the levels of receipts I have. You're killing me over here. I'm going crazy. So, yeah, Joe Hoft reminds me of that a little bit. I will follow up, though. You know, as I see something over in Telegram going, man, someone needs to tell Trump about this. Let me see if I can find this. I think he actually did say something to this effect. If it's authentic here recently, did Trump, I think I saved this, but I'm not 100% sure, where it said, hey, basically, you know, Trump going, we got the receipts on this 2020 thing. I sure hope that, you know, somebody bothers to go ahead and do the damn thing. I sure hope that somebody bothers to go ahead and, oh, I don't know, try to enforce the law against our elections being stolen. Not because it's me, but because the evidence clearly shows you have to go down this path. And the difference between this is, literally, when and if and where someone does activities that are above the law. Again, the difference between communist China and the United States, ideally and at least a little bit practically, as long as we continue down this path. In China, I can't remember, it's China. What it's growing up, it was always, oh yeah, we knew that. Oh no, no, no. He could, oh no, they won with 100% of the electorate again. At their free elections, just everybody wanted the great leader to lead yet again through our free elections. But it's a continuum there, right? Like, it's a continuum. You know that everybody is so scared that they will not even say the emperor is naked and or the emperor only got 99.1%. Now, behind the scenes, they may see who's that 0.9% and off to China version of Siberia they go, right? But it's all a continuum. To the extent you allow that corruption, you are getting an above-the-law class. And to the extent you allow it over time, you're allowing your society to trend towards an above the law, openly corrupt, everybody knows it, nobody says it, society and class. And that's what we're fighting here. That's why David, not Wayne Knight, I don't think they're related. That would be pretty outstanding, though. David Knight was like, don't you understand how important this is? Because I'm about to go crazy because I've never seen anything so obvious. And yet here we are, screwing around, having to only talk about it on InfoWars. Somehow, nobody else thinks that important topics are important topics if they can just be squirrel about, yeah, but it was on InfoWars, therefore, you must not copy it. I don't know why. I didn't mean to consciously sound like a parrot, but there is that. They just paired everybody else.
Well, if InfoWars covered it, that means it's stupid and we can't cover it.
You don't think you could just maybe get a few leads from that? Just, I mean, you know, they're only pulling up articles. You don't imagine you could just get a few potential leads? Maybe? Just a couple, and then you don't just assume everything is garbage? Maybe you just assume, well, maybe it's just not as alarming at this particular moment as David and crew are making it seem, and Alex and crew. But we'll look into it. The other thing I'll state about this, and again, a lot of my stuff kind of goes back towards free speech, but the other aspect of this is that the best watchdog media for society doesn't just state it once. And you could reverse that. The worst, quote, watchdog media in the society states it once. And they don't prioritize it. They don't say, whoa, now that could be big, am I right? Let's make sure we follow up on that in a week. Oh, that could be big, right? Let's make sure we put that on page 2 if it gets worse next time. Oh my gosh, it's just as big. Forget page 27 that seemed like, oh, this could be something, am I right? But we won't make a big deal. We got other headlines. And then it's page 2. Oh my gosh, we follow up again. Crap, this is a headliner. Yeah. That's really, really important. And another reason why I think it's absolutely stupendously stupid for our regular media to just dismiss like an InfoWars or a New American back in the day, because they did have that patience. They did have that follow-up. They did have that revisit. Well, now what? What now? And they put an emphasis on it. What we have is a fake emphasis in our regular media where they kind of only barely cover it. And then when they do, they don't even assign the proper importance or potential urgency to a story. And or they don't give enough details for you to understand those potential, you know, pieces of information that would make it more urgent or more of a priority or more of a problem. Okay, guys, I just think I found kinship here in this Hoft character. Not Hasselhoff. I don't know if Hasselhoff was quite as urgent as Ranty, but he got saying over in Europe, you know what I mean? He was a heartthrob. I find this guy to be a heartthrob, intellectually. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.